Go with me to the book of Genesis. First of all, to chapter 2. I want to read to you from verses 15 through 17. And then I want us to jump over to Genesis chapter 3. So to begin with, Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, if you will, move down to Genesis chapter 3, and let's begin with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, we've heard this story so many times when we come together. I have many sermons on this particular story. It talks about the sin that entered into the world and how it entered into the world on this occasion. What we do not know as we go through this story, we do not know what kind of fruit it was that the devil offered Eve in the Garden of Eden. Men have speculated since this story arose as to what kind of fruit it actually was. Perhaps it was a peach. Perhaps it was a plum. Maybe even something like a pomegranate. It could have been a mango or a fig, or maybe a pear or a grapefruit. Now, if you ask California strawberry pickers, they will tell you it was the strawberry. In fact, the pickers in California have given the strawberry a name, a Spanish name, La Fruta del Diablo, which means fruit of the devil. And the reason they named it this is because to pick the strawberry, you have to bend from the waist, reach down into the bush, and pick it up. We know it couldn't have been a strawberry because a strawberry does not come from trees. But you ask the California strawberry pickers, and that's what they'll say. We don't know. Could have been the red delicious apple, which seems to be the favorite fruit of most people today. But whatever fruit it was, we do know that when Eve saw it, that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and it was a tree that was desired to make one wise. And she ate of it, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate of it too. But I do want to tell you one thing about that fruit. Now, it came from the tree that God called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Whatever kind of fruit it was defective. Now, the reason I say that, I would compare this fruit to the apple who had a worm in it. And the reason I say that is because Satan promised her one thing, but she got something else. He promised her freedom, but she found that she had incarcerated herself and had incarcerated mankind forever, or at least while life stands on this earth. He told her that she would be like God, now she finds that she can't even stand in his presence. She thought that her life would improve, but now she's running and she's hiding from God. Life went downhill fast after she ate the first bite of sin. You know, today the devil has a lot of choices for us today in his fruit stand. And you can bet every piece of it has got a worm in it. It's defective. There's something wrong with it. Now what I want to do this evening for just a few minutes is talk about this fruit, this defective fruit, and how it has affected man throughout time. First of all, sin is a poisonous fruit. You know, it's interesting that the first sin involved fruit. The scriptures are filled with fruit from beginning to end. It is widely mentioned in the Bible, both in a positive way and in a negative way. Jesus taught that every tree would be known by its fruit. And basically what he was saying is that you and I will be known by our fruit. The psalmist David compared it to a tree that was planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. Children are referred to as fruit of the womb. Jesus is the vine that brings forth much fruit. The Lord's Supper has been called the fruit of the vine. And we are urged to possess fruit of the Spirit. Even the last chapter in the Bible tells us that in heaven there is going to be a fruit tree that bears 12 manner of fruit, and it bears each month each fruit for the healing of the nations. So the Bible is filled with fruit, but it is also referred to as sin. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1 warned his son about the bad apples whose fruit the Lord would eventually pluck out. It says, beginning in verse 28, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised by every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies." So they ate fruit that brought to them destruction. So fruit can be poison. Sin is poison. Sin poisons the mind. I don't know if worms are poison or not. Probably not. I don't know if any of you have ever bitten into an apple to find part of a worm still there. Now, I don't think that taking a bite of a worm would kill you, but if you did it, it would probably make you sick, and some of you are already making frown faces right now just thinking about it. On the other hand, there is no doubt that sin is poison. In fact, in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the prophet says, "The soul that sins shall die." Paul said, "The wages of sin death." James says in James 1:15 that the end of sin brings forth death. And we do know from Revelation 21 and verse 8 that all unforgiven sinners will experience the second death. And you know, we know this. We understand what sin does to us, but yet and still we will face sin, and we will challenge sin, and we will gamble our souls on sin. You know, it's amazing how people will gamble themselves on something. There's a story that came out some time back about an unusual modern art exhibit. I don't know where it was. But what it was a shotgun that was mounted on a chair. And the art was to be viewed from the person sitting in that chair with the shotgun aimed at them. And somewhere, there was a timer that was set to that shotgun. And at any undetermined time, that shotgun could go off, and whoever's sitting in that chair is going to die. But you would be amazed how many people would go to that museum and sit down in that chair with a loaded shotgun aimed toward their middle just to view that piece of art, thinking within themselves that there is no way that this gun is going to go off in the 1 minute that I am sitting in that chair. And they gambled their lives on that thought that they can get away with it and that nothing will happen to them. And it's just like eating poison, hoping that it won't kill you. It's a foolish thing that someone would do something like this. But you know, every one of us in this room have sat in that chair, and we have challenged sin to go off in our lives. Sin also sickens. You took a bite of an apple and looked down and only found half of a worm there, chances are you're going to get sick. Sin sickens those who stop to think about the sin in their own lives. Sin will cost you dearly in your life. Sin will cost you, for example, your self-respect. I think of a character by the name of Samson. You know, he was one of the judges of Israel, a very strong man, a very important man. And on the last day of his life, sin caused him to lose his self-respect. We read of this in Judges chapter 16 and verse 25. It says, "And it so it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. He had dropped himself to the point, and now he was trying to please the men that he served." And of course, we know the rest of that story. He asked for his dignity back, that he could end this thing, and he did, and of course destroyed the evil people there at that day as well. But it cost him. It cost him his self-respect. Another character, the prodigal son. Can you imagine how he must have felt while he was sitting there in that pig pen, feeding the pigs, eating like pigs, smelling like pigs, thinking about his daddy and his home and his servants so far away and how they were having the best of life, and here he was in despair. You know, we think about that, we have to know we don't feel good about ourselves when we eat forbidden fruit, do we? And all of us sin, and we don't feel good about ourselves when it's over, and we know what we have done, and we see what is done to us and maybe someone around us. You can't feel good about that. I have examples of this. For example, those who have had abortions. Many of them have gone through long periods of depression when they realize that what they have literally done is taken away a human life. Criminals, prostitutes many times, become disgusted with themselves because of the lifestyle that they have. And you know, these are what we call the big sins. But it doesn't just happen to big sinners. It happens to the little sinner and the regular sinner as well. People who cheat, lie, mistreat others, they have trouble coping with their own sins. Many people have trouble of looking at themselves in the mirror or pillowing their heads at night because of something that they have done someone else in their lives. You see, if you eat the devil's apple, it's going to make you sick. Thankfully enough, God has a medicine that can cure the sin-sick soul. He can remove the smell of hogs, and he can take away the bitter taste of sin. And it can be done through the blood of his Son, because the blood of his Son is a cure-all for sin and guilt. You know, Paul promised us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And he was talking to sinners. He knows that people are going to continue to sin. He knows that we face it every day and that at times we give in to it. But if we are willing to walk after the Spirit, if we are willing to pursue the Spirit, there's no condemnation. He was talking to people that he knew is going to sin. But yet, follow Christ. Don't walk after it. Don't walk after the flesh. And there will be no condemnation. In 1 John 1, verse 7, John said, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." When John said that, he was talking to sinners. He knew that people would continue to sin. He knew the fact that we will face it every day and that we will give in to it. But if we pursue that light, if we try to follow the light of Christ, the blood of Christ will continue to sin or to continue to heal us from our sins. So my friends, if you have been eating wormy apples, it's time to stop and taste the good word of God. As David said in Solomon in Psalm 34 and verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." I don't have to tell you, my friends, that sin is rotten. It is rotten to the core, just like the apple with the worm. Sin is poison. Sin sickens. Sin disgust. Don't allow it to control your life. Tonight, my friends, if you have never named Christ, sin has control of your life. And the fruit that you eat is poison, and it will sicken you, and it will cause you to lose your soul. But you can get out of that by coming to the Lord tonight and giving your life to Him. Christian, it may be that you have let sin filter back into your life and the worm is back in the apple again. But you can get rid of it again by coming back to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. And God has promised to forgive. Please remember, all of the devil's apples have worms. If you need to get the worms out of your life, do it now. Do it now while we stand and sing.